Hello there, and once again you're very welcome to Terrace Talk. We, Sinn Fogarty, as with usual, with you until 8 o'clock. And our Terrace Talk team tonight is Brian is on sound, Claire is taking your calls, and Colin McGrath is producing. That's the team bringing you Terrace Talk tonight. And if you want to get your comment in, 066712366, because we have a very unique program to give away with tonight. We also have a voucher for Quills, and we have a book for the opening of the new Cordell Field. It will be all given away to the person who's pulled out of the hat and whose number comes out. But this special program deals with 1982, the Munster final of 1982. So listen in, it's a collector's item because it concerns my guest tonight. Well, he's probably better known as a successful TD for Fine Gael in the Dáil. But to many of us, he's known as a footballer. Most of us who's not interested in politics, he's the man who captained Kerry to the four in a row in 1981. Only two men in history have done it, Joe Barrett and Jimmy Deanan. Jimmy, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Rishi.
I compared you with Joe Barrett there.
Well, that's an honour.
It is. Well, I suppose, Jimmy, four in a row. It was Jimmy, you fighting Royal Ireland medals.
That's right. And
three National League medals. I'm going to give you three National Leagues, four Railway Cups, two County Championships. You were on a minor team that lost in All-Ireland. And you have an under-21 All-Ireland 73. My God, you have some collection.
I have, but I suppose in terms of performance in Kerry, it wouldn't be that highly rated because there are so many more with more than that. But nevertheless, it's a good measure of achievement.
Jimmy, you're being very modest, like a lot of Kerrymen. Come here. I suppose your story really is the stuff of a boyhood dream. Coming from a small little club. Small club up in North Kerry. And maybe no field even when you were grown up, and you came along and you stood in the steps of the Croke Park and you accepted the Sam Maguire for your county. Was it always football, going to school? Were you kicking off the back of the wall? How did you get up to Croke Park?
Well, certainly in Finnoog, when I grew up there as a young fellow for a number of years, we didn't have any football club because the village was divided between two parishes, Lixnaw and Listowel, and because of the parish rule, we couldn't have a team in the village. Some of the players, people like Tom Sullivan, played actually with Clonmacken and the Lanes, and then people on the other side played, well, they didn't have anyone really to play with because Lixnaw was a hurling parish. They played with St. Sinan's, who were the junior club at the time. So then they overcame the difficulties of the parish rule in 1962, and then Finnoog, just, it's quite a young club in recent terms, they took off from there and they won the North Kerry Championship in 1967. So that was really a very quick rise in terms of success. And then they immediately started juvenile football there, and of course I was involved almost from the beginning, and we won an All Kerry Championship, I think, back in 1964, a juvenile All Kerry Championship.
That was your first medal, I presume?
That was my first medal, but I remember the first thing I got for Christmas was a ball. I remember my mother actually travelled, they went to Puck Fair every year, herself and her father and mother. That was it was a big excursion. My grandfather was into buying horses, and he always bought a few horses in Puck Fair, and they went there with a man called Tom Regan, now that you mentioned it, and she bought a brown, big brown rubber ball, and that was the ball that I had when I was a young fellow. It was the first thing I remember ever getting, and that's what the locals played with around the crossroad in Finnoog. We didn't have a football pitch in Finnoog at that time. We played at the crossroad. Then when we did start the team, I remember Paul Sullivan, a local farmer, allowed us to play in his field, which was very generous. And after that, then Jim Gallivan, another local farmer, allowed us to play in his field for a number of years. Both of them are dead now. And then Finnoog acquired a field in their own back around 1974 or 5, and developed that field into the fine pitch it is now.
Jimmy, who inspired you when you were young like that growing up? What Kerry footballers inspired you?
Well, I think that my father was a fanatic in football, and obviously the first thing I heard when I was growing up was about football and about the great Kerry heroes. He never missed an All-Ireland football final while he was alive, and he went to the very early ones, and he had great memories of the Ghost Train because his mother or his sister lived in Dublin, so obviously it was a good occasion to go and visit his sister in Dublin. So he obviously inspired me at the beginning, and he, I suppose, instilled in me a respect for Kerry football and the great heroes of that particular time. I suppose his great heroes would have been the likes of Con Brosnan and Bob Stack and Johnny Welsh and Eddie Welsh, and later then people like Joe Cahan, who was a legend at that time, and coming right up through the years to, of course, the great Mick O'Connell, Jerome O'Shea, and Mick Dwyer, and then out around now, Kerry, you had a large number of people like Dan McAuliffe, you know, Gus Crimmins, Eddie Dowling, the Finucanes, Johnny Welch, of course, was a major star in all Kerry, always right up to his dead. So of that era, there were a large number of them at that time, and my father's time, and certainly at that time, people don't fully understand that, but we didn't have an international soccer team. Rugby was rather, I suppose, remote, and rugby was played only by a very small number of people at that particular time.
It was a different era, Jimmy. We're trying to forget that, haven't we?
Absolutely. So the Gaelic footballers of Kerry were the heroes to us young people growing up. Now it's the Cop, or it's Old Trafford, or it's some other maybe soccer pitch in England or Europe. But to us growing up, the only heroes that we could really respond to or admire or look up to were Gaelic footballers in Kerry.
And as I said, Jim, you got on the Kerry Miners, and you were beaten in 70, you were beaten by Galway. You got on the Kerry under 21, G1 in 73, and Field Rangers won the county championship in 80, which qualified you then to captain your county. Now we gone through the whole thing, but there'd be so much to captain your county. Now you took over the captaincy then of the Kerry team. Bring us through, as quick as you can, Alice, dramatic as you can, the year that you captained Kerry to win the St Maguire. Did you know before you started that this was going to finish up in Croke Park?
Well, before I started playing football, is
no, it? before I started that particular year. Four in a row you were going for four.
Well, obviously, we were very confident because we knew that we had the edge in any team in the country. When we overcame the Dublin Challenge, then we dominated football, and eventually we overcame the Dublin Challenge and more or less put them away in 1979. And after that then, we knew that we had the edge in every team in the country, and we didn't fear any team. So when I became captain in 1981, I had a feeling that I was going to win the St Maguire that year. But on the other hand, we were always very careful, and we had matured as well. Into not being complacent, not taking people for granted. And there was so much competition as well within the team to hold your place. For example, I was a cornerback, and there were four top-class cornerbacks competing for two positions. You had Gerald Keith, you had Mick Spillane, Paddy Lynch, and myself. And we were competing for those positions. And I knew well that if I got injured or if I lost form, that there was somebody else that would take my place. So that kind of competition kept people very much alert and on their toes as well. But I had a good sense of expectation that barring an accident or a number of injuries or something like that, or a freak, that I would probably win the All-Ireland. But then again, there's always that sense that something might happen.
What was your first outing in, Jimmy Munster?
That particular year, funny enough, I think we went directly into the Munster final
yeah.
That time. So when you look at it, we just had to win a Munster final, an All-Ireland semi-final and a final. Three games, win the All-Ireland. So
the Munster final, what are your memories of that, Jim?
Well, that particular year, again, Cork were not a force by 81. They were a very strong force in the mid-70s. And in the end of the 70s, they were rebuilding, and we never really came up against the same Cork team in the league and the championship, and they weren't as powerful a force as they were in the 70s, in the mid-70s, or what they became in the 80s when they went on and they won an All-Ireland. But certainly at that particular time, we had the upper hand in them, and they were responding too much to Kerry, and they were chopping and changing too much, and we won that Munster final fairly comfortably. On that
talking about the Munster final, Jim, I have the program for it here in front of me, and Jesus, it's a collector's item, Kerry versus Cork, the actual program. So yes, get in your comments, 0667123666, and comment for Jimmy or a comment on anything. You could win the program and the voucher with it and the book for Cordell. Treat them go together, that's some prize. You won't get this program anywhere in the universe, only here in Telestock tonight. You went on, Jim, and you met me on the semi-final.
First half in that particular game, Mayo, they really put it up to us. That was, I think, it was the first time Willie Joe Paddon was seen in Croke Park. And they had some very good forwards. And they had people like Joe McGrath and Martin Carney. They had an exceptionally fine team that time, Mayo. And in the first half, they put it up to us. It was very, very tight at half time. But in the second half, I think that we produced a performance that we never matched before or after. If you ever look at that video, if it's available, the second half of that semi-final, Kerry put on a copybook performance. It was perfection. And we played the ball right from the full back line, right up into the corner forward with five and six passes. Ball never hitting the ground and ending on a score. It was spectacular football. And I remember there were people over from America, people that I had met in San Francisco, and they were connected with college American football. And they brought some friends along with them, and I met them after the game. And they were just mesmerized with the type of flow and how the ball would turn around. They thought it was like an exhibition game, because the likes of Owen Liston and these people, like, when they were really flying, they made it look like an exhibition game.
Yeah, well, we're in the final now. We're going for a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Jimmy about the day that he captained Kerry to win the semi-final. And, very importantly, a big event coming up in Finnoog, the Sean McCarthy weekend. A man I knew well, we'll be talking about him, reminiscing and talking about the big weekend. 0667123666. If you want to win the signed program by Jimmy Deanan of the 82 of the 81 Munster final, you won't get it anywhere. Get in your comments. We're going for a short break. And you're welcome back to Tellus Talk. I'm talking to former great Kerry captain Jimmy Deanan, and Chessie Cronin said to send you his best wishes. The great Chessie Cronin, bumped into him during the week with his wife Agnes, showed me a beautiful photograph, now Chessie, of the Castle Island minor team 1964. They were fine, handsome looking young men then. Well, they're not looking too bad all the time. Let's put it there. That's the great Chessie Cronin. The Valencia under 14s, well, they had a great win in they won a county title last week. They gave an exhibition against Waterville. Well done to the Valencia under 14s. Looking forward to going down, presenting those medals, lads, and meeting you all again. Since you won the under 12, I wasn't down since. Looking forward to it. Happy birthday, Mike Sexton, down in New Street, the great singer. 50 years old last week, and just up the road from him, just up the street where I was reared myself, in Lower New Street, Mrs. Summers, 99 years young. Happy birthday, Mrs. Summers, 99 years young yesterday. And Angela Healy O'Brien says she was at the two do's, and she made it home all right. And I want to say well done to the Kerry ladies, who put up an absolutely brilliant exhibition last Sunday. Unfortunately, they went down, but I can tell you, I really enjoyed that game. Finally, I want to say hello to Siobhan Welsh and Sean in Castle Island. Why am I saying hello to them? Because at present, they are doing a little job for me, and would you believe, Terrace Talk is going on the internet, and in about a month's time, you'll be hearing a lot more. You'll be Terrace Talk is going worldwide, and the people out front and the people at home will be able to listen to all their favourite programmes and Terrace Talk down to the years. John B. Keane, Colm Kennelly, Jimmy Deanahan, Jack O'Shea, Mickey Sheehy, Hugh Flaherty, Charlie Haughey, all those interviews will be going out live on the internet worldwide. And my thanks to Siobhan and Sean, and I'll be talking about them at a later date. We'll hear from them. Jimmy, he went to the final. What's it like to be in a final captaining Kerry?
Well, it's special. It's only afterwards when you really think about it and reflect on it that you realise how important an event it is, and the responsibility that you really have in your hands and that you have to take on behalf of your county. Because as you appreciate, and all of us Kerry people appreciate, like, Kerry football is just more than a game. It certainly is. It reflects probably the soul and the heart of the county more than anything else, and it unites all of us, which is great. It unites us all, whether it's political, religious, or social status, or whatever. It unites everyone in the county, and that's the great thing about it. So when you're captain of the Kerry team, really, you're captain of a movement, more than a county or whatever.
Were you conscious of that, Jimmy?
Well, I wasn't.
Run up to the final, you were
not at all. Not.
Bring us into the dressing room now. Into the dressing room before the game.
Well, the dressing room at that stage in Kerry was very much dominated by Mick O'Dwyer. As he dominated Kerry football totally for a large number of years. He dominated training. You often saw us in training, Wishy. The only voice that you would hear in training was Mick O'Dwyer's. People didn't say anything. When we were playing games, we'd be calling for passes or talking to each other. But the only dominant voice you heard inside in training was Mick O'Dwyer's. It was the same in the dressing room. People, they warmed up in their own way. They sat down and they listened. So the only one we would hear would be O'Dwyer. And he had a special way of warming people up. He had a special way of doing it. And he could detect the mood in the dressing room and he would react to that because, fair enough, he had the same kind of cliches a lot of the time. But he was always there to bring in something different that struck a chord with you. So as captain, really, what you would have to do is give the pep talk going out. And that was always a challenge because I was coming after three successful pep talks, so I was the four in a row.
Can you remember, Jimmy, what you said that day? Did you prepare it? Did it come spontaneously?
It would have to be, a pep talk would have to be spontaneous. Certainly, it's very hard to prepare a pep talk. The best pep talks before a game would be a spontaneous
from
one.
From the heart.
It has to come from the heart and it has to reflect the mood
of the players. Can you hear what you said that day?
I honestly don't. The only thing is, I think I did say, look, we can go out and we can at least equal history today. And we shouldn't leave this opportunity slip by or be complacent about it or whatever. I think I did say that. But certainly it's a great occasion leading out your county onto Croke Park when you're the first person out there with the ball and taking the toss. It has special responsibilities, but also it is a major honour for any sportsman. And it's something that shouldn't be underestimated. And at the time you do it as a sportsman, you're there as an athlete. But afterwards, the older you get, the more you reflect, I suppose, and the more you think about the meaning of these things more than what they are at the time. And certainly, it is very special.
Jimmy, I must ask you this now. We all know you won the game now. You were very close to Matt Connor. Now, we were talking about Matt Connor. Matt Connor was here for the special tennis talk last year. And that Matt Connor special will also be gone out on the internet. A wonderful man, a fabulous person, and a lovely fellow. A wonderful tennis talk that night, which people get here. But What was he like to play against Jimmy? What are your memories of Matt Connor coming at you?
Yeah, well, I marked him for, I think, something like 2.5 games, but I'm on that particular occasion, I was marking Brendan Lowry, and I think Paddy Lynch was marking Matt Connor.
Yeah.
But Matt O'Connor was a very special footballer.
Why?
He had great balance. He could kick with both feet, and he moved very swiftly. He was deceptively fast. In other words, looking at him, you didn't think he was moving as fast. But when you marked him, he had very good reflexes, and his first three steps were very quick. And the early pace, that matters. And he was a big man, but he had very good early pace. So he was really a fine player. And that Offaly team, as they proved the following year, they were a fine football team and probably a bit underestimated. Even on that day, they did get their opportunities. I think Jody Carroll hit the post after halftime where they could have made it very close. And I think we were just leading 4 points with a few minutes to go and we got that great goal.
Jack, brilliant goal.
Yeah.
The full-time whistle went in, Jim. What happened then after that?
Well, after that, I was thinking about what I was going to say, but I did have it well kind of rehearsed in my mind. I admit now, it looked on the day as being a very good speech and all the rest, but I had it thought through and I had sought some advice in it, and through Irish, I went back to my old Irish teacher at the time, Johnny Flaherty, and I picked up a few sentences in the staff room in school. And I remember at a time meeting Brian McMahon on the street, and I said to him, Brian, you know, what should I say up here, don't know, if I win the Sam Maguire? And he said, come in here to the house. And he kind of said, talk out there. You're not just speaking to the people in Croke Park, you're speaking to the people in Australia and in America and everywhere, you know, which was quite inspiring at the time.
The homecoming then, Jimmy, what was the homecoming? What are your memories? The homecoming for Kerry teams is always special. And it was more special when you'd come in the train, I think. I remember when I was young in Killarney in the 55 and 59, when you came by train, they were going by plane, of course. What are your memories of the homecoming to Kerry?
Well, it was 4 All-Irelands in a row. And in Kerry, you know, we get somewhat used to winning, And whereas it was special, but certainly it wouldn't be the same as the homecoming in 1997, for example, when Kerry hadn't won for 11 years. That was spectacular. But it's always special to bring back the Sam Maguire as captain. And for me, it was special. But like all homecomings, it was huge. But at the time, I think people began to expect that Kerry were going to win the All-Irelands at the time. And that's why the following year was such a downer, because nobody expected we would lose. And Kerry, just the supporters, became accustomed to winning, and they expected us to win. I remember coming back, it was a great occasion and all the rest, but I remember actually going up in the stand and receiving the cup more than I do of returning to Kerry with the cup.
Jimmy, before we go for the break, because we're going to talk about Sean McCarthy, you had an unfortunate accident. You broke your leg in training in June 82.
Training, just before the semi-final, the Munster semi-final against Clare, we were playing backs and forwards in Killarney, and I remember Mikko said, right, we'll finish there now, lads, and a ball flashed from somewhere, and he said, right, we'll have one more attack. So the ball came down between myself and John Egan, and we had some great tussles always. It was always very competitive between myself and Egan inside in training, and I just knocked the ball out of his hand, and I kind of put in my foot to kick it away, and whatever way we became entangled, we fell, and my foot stayed in one position.
And it cracked, because I was up in the hill, and I heard it to me. You did make a comeback. You played your last game then with Kerry.
I made a comeback in 1983, and I played my last game, funny enough, against Galway in a Tarbert, in the opening of Tarbert pitch. And for the Munster final, I was nearly ready, but I decided I would wait, because we thought we'd been the All-Ireland semi-final, and we lost to a last-minute goal in the Munster final, and that was the end of it then. I just couldn't sustain the new career that I'd entered into, and football. I just couldn't do both of them. It took too much out of me, and I decided I'd call it a day.
Jimmy, when we come back, we're going to talk about Sean McCarthy, because that's got a special very weekend. Just before you go, would you mind giving a mention and tell us talk the following? Castle Island Mental Health Association are holding a golf classic in the Castle Island golf course on August the 16th. It will consist of teams of four with two scores to count on each hole. Entry fee is €160 per team, and anybody wishing to sponsor a team is also very welcome. Prizes will be €1,500. All proceeds will go towards the purchase of a bus to transport patients from the whole of Castle Island catchment area to the New Day Centre. And this is from my good friend John Summers, and you can contact John Summers at 06671 or 087, it'd be better, 087-2861-948. Jimmy, great crowds doing great work, this golf classic now, to raise funds to buy a bus for the old people.
Very much so. And
John Summers and the lads.
Just to tell John as well, I'm helping Joan Halsey actually buy a bus for the centre in the stall, and we'll be having a sponsored walk in late September, early October, so no doubt we'll be plugging that.
And next week, John Summers, we'll hear more about this, because I'll be on about it.
Just saying to John Summers, I hope that I'll have a very successful tournament, and who knows, I might be able to get a team to play in it.
And who knows, John, but maybe between all the TDs and everything, we might get a few bob out of it out of Tellus Talk. Anyway, when we come back, we're talking about an upcoming event in our Kerry, Sean McCarthy, and also we have a very special photograph to talk about later on, and that's very special about Kerry captains. We'll also have that, so stay with us on Tellus Talk. Come back to Tellus Talk. Jimmy, Madeline O'Connor, Abbey Field says congrats to Jimmy on his football career. Morris Poynting, he's from Artford. He's County Mayo from Artford. Jimmy had the Lowry brother. Jimmy had the Lowry brothers and the stand in Finnoog. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Brendan and
that's
Sean.
Right, yeah, both of them came down after the All Ireland.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Morris. No name in this. The draw on RTE on Sunday was not live. I know that myself, because I knew what the draw was at 4:30. Michael Hartley Causeway in the 1978 final, who replaced Charlie Nilligan?
Well, I went back into goals because it was my man that was put off, John McCarthy, so I was obviously the loose man then, and then Paddy Mahoney, who was the sub-goalkeeper, was brought in.
Did Espelang win for a minute?
I
think he did.
For a minute, yeah.
I think that was the day. We had four goalies. Sheila O'Sullivan Kinmere, what does Jimmy think of the current Kerry team, and how will they get on in Sunday, Jim?
They have a very good chance. They have a major obstacle to get over, and people shouldn't doubt that, because they had three handy wins, but it's going to be a big one, but I think they can shade it.
In the 1980-81 semi-final, Kerry versus Mayo, the introduction of Tim Kennelly was a great procedure for Kerry. It was too.
Well, it was, but any team that could afford to have Tim Kennelly as a sub was a powerful team. So
it was a powerful team.
Obviously,
no.
Bringing him in was a big factor in winning.
You'd be interested in this, we'd have to be joined by Liam Brown. Paddy Scanlon at Harbert Low Road died yesterday, 72 years of age. He was chairman of the club for 15 years, and by all accounts, there was a guard of honour, the lint of Kerry for him. The lint of Kerry. Our sympathies to his sister Josie. He died at approximately just 3:15 when the ball was being thrown in for the Kerry Kildare game. Never missed a game on Radio Kerry. They had the game turned on for the late Paddy, the Lord of Mercy in his soul. The Radio Kerry was on. He was ready to listen to the game on Radio Kerry. Paddy Scanlon died in Tarbert yesterday, 72, a great man. May the sod rest lightly on his soul. Paddy Scanlon. Jimmy, big weekend coming up. Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, could I say that about Paddy Scanlon?
Oh, sorry, Jim. Charlie Farrelly's on tonight. When before you go. Charlie, welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Weezy.
One minute now, Jim. Charlie, you've a big day coming up next Monday.
Yes, Weezy. The Cordell GA Club, we've the opening of our pitch in Cordell. It was planned for the June Bank Holiday weekend, but as you know yourself, everything doesn't go according to plan. And one thing, another, weather and a few more things, we had to cancel it. And we decided that we're going to go ahead with the opening on the August Bank Holiday Monday now, the 5th of June, the 5th of August, next Monday evening.
At what time?
The unusual thing is, was it really, most pitches are open now, you'll see them open with a senior football, men's senior football challenge, but we decided that we'd go different, especially after the performance that the Kerry ladies put up last Sunday, and it's been opened with a senior football ladies challenge match between Kerry and Limerick. And that takes place at a quarter to six.
Quarter to six.
And also then Sean Kelly is doing the official opening for us at a quarter to seven.
And you've a fabulous programme brought out, a 100-page programme, Charlie.
Yes, we should have a bit of research. I'll just finish it on Monday evening. The St. Kieran's and Duhallow then are playing a senior football challenge at 7:30 for the Bishop Prendeville Memorial Cup. And that's in memory of Redmond Prendeville, who won in All-Ireland with Kerry in, I think it was 24 or 26.
24 is right, yeah, I think, yeah.
And he was a member of the Cordell Club at the time. He later went on to be a Nash Bishop out in Perth in Australia. Yes, we set up a committee some time ago there to research a bit of the history of the club, and it's turned into something a little bit bigger than we expected. I think your guest there tonight, Jimmy, I'm just going through the notes there that the field was bought initially in Cordell in 1983, and the foresight of people at that time, they bought eight acres of land for £15,000, and there was a lot of work done to get into a pitch. And ironically, that your guest tonight, Jimmy, should be one of the first men to play, and he captained Finug in the junior championship on a Sunday evening, the first match that was ever played on the pitch.
Well, Charlie, listen to me, I hope you have a great evening, and I hope you have a great crowd there anyway, and the best of luck to you.
Okay, Weezy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie. That's thank Charlie Farrelly, their Cordell opening, their new setup outside next Monday evening. Jimmy, we were talking about John McCarthy, the late John McCarthy. Tell us about, when is it on?
Well, it's on this weekend, and I suppose this particular year will be special because it's the 10th year that we've had it. And we started it off in Finnoo, really, to keep the memory of Sean McCarthy alive. Sean, apart from being a very good songwriter and a very good storyteller and a very good short story writer, a good broadcaster, he was very much, I would say, responsible for the Rambling House and Radio Kerry at the beginning. He gave Dan Collins great assistance with it. But he was a very decent man as well. And irrespective of whether people were looking for a Santa Claus for Christmas, whether they wanted an entertainer at an old folks party, or whether they wanted to have a sing-song in a pub, or whatever, Sean was always available.
He was a special person. I knew him, Jimmy, myself personally, in a kind of another life, as the fellow put it. I was close to him in another way, but he was a unique and special Kerryman.
He was. Well, Sean could have been a very wealthy man, but he wasn't, because he was too generous. And everybody gained out of Sean's songs but Sean himself, and he made a lot of the big groups weren't over generous afterwards to Sean or to the cause.
So what will happen for the weekend, Jim, now? What's lined up?
Well, we have a ballad competition. It's the National Guinness Sean McCarthy Ballad Competition. And really, it's now the premier ballad competition in the country. First of all, there's a very attractive prize for the winner, which is €700, and then for the placings as well. But also it affords the opportunity of several young songwriters and singers a platform in which to sing a song, and it, the songs will have to be original, and they will have to be traditional ballad type songs. So it's the only one now that's in the country apart from what you hear in the All-Ireland FLA. But it's regarded, highly regarded. There are people interning from England. Last year we had someone from America. And I think the people don't realise really the level of respect that it's held in by ballad writers and singers around the country and outside.
When is the date for the game? Tell
the ballad competition.
The whole thing started
Friday night. Johnny Carroll is opening in Friday night.
Right.
And Johnny has a huge following around North Kerry.
Yeah.
And then we have, that's followed by the Crossroad Dancing, which is quite unique now. I don't think there is Crossroad Dancing in any place else in Ireland. And Mary McCarthy has kept it alive in Finnoog, in all fairness to her, and she has a special platform and all for the dancers, and they come from everywhere. And all she needs really is a fine night, because there are hundreds of people there. And then on Saturday we have that the internationally acclaimed Emer O'Connor, who's a very fine artist. She's Sinead O'Connor is her sister, the singer. So she always comes to do a special art workshop for youngsters, for primary school children, and that's always a great success. Then we have a bog walk where we take people to the bog in Innismore, and people like Paul Kennelly and Peggy Sweeney and Tim Griffin and others, they just do an exhibition of turf cutting, and also a kind of a presentation of the floor of the bog, which people really enjoy. And then there's usually tea and singing and dancing in the bog as well, and it's that's unique for people like who'd never have been to the bog before. Then that night we have the ballad competition. We're unveiling a special plaque at Tokshim's this year to Martin Whelan. Martin was a member of our committee, and of course Martin was Mr. Finnoog. He was a great community man, and he died, you know, tragically just at the age of 52, and we're unveiling a plaque to him this year just in his memory, because he was a special Finnoog man and a special Kerry man and Irish man.
How has it, during the last 9 years, has it grown every year?
Well, every year.
How should I go at it now if I said to you, Jimmy, what's carrying up the Finnoog?
Well, if you want, if you want what's good traditionally, what's good about Irish culture, if you want quality, then you go to it, because we emphasize quality. Everything we do there, the people we get there, our guests over the years, are all the top people in the country.
How important is the whole thing to Finnoog?
Well, it's very important. Over the years, we've made about, I would say, maybe €50,000 profit over the last 10 years. And all of that money, every penny of it, has gone back into the village. And if you drive through Finnoog, you'll see nice stone walls, you'll see trees, and you'll see other things in Finnoog. And it's all because of the Sean McCarthy Memorial Weekend. And there's a beautiful little thatched cottage at Finnoog Cross. It's one of the last in the whole county in any village. You see the imitation ones in Muckross and in Bunratty, but this is the genuine old thatched cottage. It's 300 years old. And through the funds of the Sean McCarthy Weekend, we have purchased that. And now we are restoring it. And it will be open there for everyone.
It'll be a community asset. And I have no doubt we'll hear a few Sean's ballads blaring around.
Certainly.
Would we?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Of course.
Well, like Sean, some of the great ballads, like Red-Haired Mary was a classic, and then there were others.
Keep your eyes on Red-Haired Mary.
Well, I think keep your eyes off her, I think. But Shannon Golden and Shame, Love and Shame. Yeah. Like, he was a special songwriter. I've never heard a red ballad like anybody
else.
He
spent a lot of time in America, Jimmy.
Well, some of his time. He spent a lot of his time in England. He fought in the Second World War. And then after that, he came back to England. He was wounded, actually, in the Second World War in Egypt. He came back then to England, spent some of his time there, and then went to America, where he met Carol, his wife, and spent some time there. But he was in the circuit in America at the start of that whole ballad movement, where the likes of Danny Doyle and many more.
Has his life been written down and recorded?
Well, it's fairly well documented, but not to the extent that it could be. I think it's well worth a good documentary.
There's an opening there for that.
Well, there certainly is, yeah.
I tell you, Jimmy, if he was alive, I'd have him in the terrorist talk anyway. And well, then, by the way, next week we're going to talk about Kerry supporters, Margaret Maloney, she only missed one Kerry game in 10 years. She'll be in here next week, and also Did you ever hear of Putty Shukro?
Absolutely.
Well, I tell you, we'll be looking at the legend of Putty Shukro, and we'll be talking to a man who's after bringing out a book about Muhammad Ali, because Putty Shukro brought Muhammad Ali to Croke Park 30 years ago this week. What did Putty Shukro do? What was he doing bringing Muhammad Ali to Croke Park? Listen to Terrace Talk next Tuesday night and you'll hear it all. When we come back, we're going talking about it. A photograph of 31 Kerry captains, including Jimmy Deanan, and my God, it's some collector's item. And you, the listener on Terrace Talk, might be able to get one of them for nothing. Stay with us on Terrace Talk. Finnoog is the place to go. Lord of mercy, my good friend Tom Sullivan, he played fullback in the Kerry Juniors in 1967 when we won the All-Ireland. Great Finnoog man, I was great friends with him. And the Kerry Juniors are out next Saturday and the Kerry Minors are out. And would you believe it's 33 years this year since Kerry beat Wicklow, since Wicklow beat Kerry in the All-Ireland Junior Final. They're playing next Saturday. Kerry beat us 33 years ago. I was in goal that day and Wicklow beat us. The only thing about it, I didn't live in any goal anywhere, so no one can say anything to me. Donegal Sullivan, Kilgarvan, Jimmy was dedicated and he was not afraid of yellow cards. Pat Ryan Tully, Kerry only scored 8 times in 75 minutes last Saturday. Is this good enough to progress? Pat, we'll know it all next Sunday. What a cracker it is going to be. You can hear all those games on Radio Kerry. Now, we're joined by Liam Brown. Liam, you're very welcome. North Kerry's Liam Brown, you're very welcome. With an absolutely fabulous picture of the 31 Kerry captains. They're profiling them. Liam, what's this fabulous picture about?
Well, basically, it's the 32 Kerry captains, actually.
32, yeah.
It's they're in circle of motion, outer circle, and in inner circle, the Sam Maguire in the centre. And it's based on the Kerry jersey, with the Kerry Group logo clearly visible in the background. The top left-hand corner is the Kerry crest. Bottom right-hand corner is the Cumann Lough Cascade crest. And then our sponsors, Kerry Group logo in the bottom. Left-hand corner.
And there's nothing like this. This is the first time this was ever done, isn't it?
It's the first time the likes of this was done. There was a picture that went up to 1975.
Yeah.
And we had that picture, and it was given to us by Henry Brosnan, a great Gael, staunch Kerry supporter who lives in London, has lived in London all his life. And two of us got together and said, isn't it about time it was updated? So that's what we went about, and with a lot of trial and error, and a lot of help from a lot of different people, this is what we got.
Liam, I must say, it's an absolute collector's item. Before we talk to Jimmy about it, tell us what's it for, how much it is, and where can it be got?
Well, of course.
Because it is a collector's item.
What's it for? Well, we originally did it, and we were going to run with one or two GAA clubs, but they didn't go with it. So we said, both my partner, Jimmy Harmon, and myself, have very good reason to be very grateful to Kerry Hospice. I won't go into the reasons why, but we decided then that we'll offer it to the Hospice Foundation, and they grabbed it and are running with it, and it seems to be going very well.
Well, I was talking to my good friend Jimmy O'Brien, the Killarney publican, today, and I was telling him you were coming on with the picture, and I told him what it was like, and without even seeing it, he said, order one of them for me, Jimmy O'Brien, the publican. How much are they?
60 euro.
60 euro. Jimmy Deanan.
They're priced so that they're available, they're accessible to everybody, really.
And you're presenting them to all the captains.
We're going to personalise for the 14 living captains. That's what we're at now at the moment. Jimmy and
Jimmy Deanan is living, isn't he?
He is, indeed.
Jimmy, they have the listeners know you're still living there and talk to us about this, Jim.
Well, first of all, look, I'd like to congratulate Liam and Jimmy Harmon, my former geography teacher, for doing such a fine job. And it takes a bit of courage to come forward with a project like this, because you always put a question mark out there, will people receive it well or not? And it takes you take a chance, like, and you put your professional reputation at stake or whatever. But I think you've come up with a very good product there. And it's for a very, very good cause. And I think the cause is more important here than the captains. And I think it's excellently produced, and it's going to be a collector's item, and it will be sought after all
Jimmy,
over the world.
Jimmy, would I be safe in saying that any football house or pub or hotel will be a bit bare without one of these?
Well, certainly.
You're not up to it. You'll be falling behind, aren't you?
It'll have to be...
Is that right?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. It'll have to be next to the sacred hat lamp.
I'll just give you a rundown on the outlets where it is at the moment.
Sure.
We see.
Right.
In Tralee, Hurley's Bookshop and Tenebury's Sports Shop. In Killarney, John O'Sullivan's Photographic Centre in the English Valley Arcade. In Listowel, in Maguire Sports Shop. in Killorglin, in Jim Burns Auctioneers and Insurance Brokers in Lower Bridge Street, Cars Iveen in the Maureen O'Sullivan Chemist Shop, Main Street, Dingle and Garvey Sports and Leisure Centre in Strand Street, Castle Island in Jack Shanahan's Chemist Shop, Kenmare in Brosnan's Pharmacy in Henry Street, in Kilgarvan, I believe that Dunica P. O'Sullivan is known as Mr. G.A. around that area, in the post office, and in Steam in Ryanie's Bar.
And quickly, rumour has it that you're presenting just at Ellis Talk.
I am, of course.
Yeah, well, there you are. Ellis Talk listeners.
And I've got one here for yourself as well.
Listen, much appreciated. This fabulous picture is going to be put out on Ellis Talk over the next few weeks. I'll be talking to Jimmy Dean, it must be the best way to do it. Jimmy, just before we go, James O'Connor Killorglin, explain how Kerry got into 1981 Munster final. They got straight into it, didn't they, you said?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Madeline O'Connor, I feel you came out of the hat. You win this absolutely collector's item. Madeline, you come out of the hat. Jimmy Dean, and we're finishing up. And Liam, we'll be talking about this again next week, sure, because you're presenting this now to Ellis Talk, and our listeners are going to get a chance. And I tell you, we'll have to make it difficult. Jimmy Dean, listen to me, it was great having you, because the last time I spoke to you, it was in the steps of the Dáil, and you said to me, I thought you'd never invite me into Ellis Talk.
Well, I think I was kind of rising you as such, but at the same time, I feel privileged to be in here, and any Kerry man would, and just to recognise the work that you're doing for Kerry culture, not by having been here, but you're doing very good work.
Jimmy, it was great to have you, it was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Time on. Liam, that's a wonderful job, and we're going to play out, because Sean McCarthy, red-haired Mary, and who did you say, Peggy Sweeney, you mentioned some names.
That's right, yeah, absolutely. It's a classic.
Peggy Sweeney singing Red-Haired Mary. Yeah. It's one of my favourites too. Jimmy and Liam, you're doing great work. Not Kerry men, you're mighty men up there. You're always turning a bob and making a bob and organising and everything.
Well, always for somebody else though.
Well done. Peggy Sweeney, thanks for listening to us. Next week, we'll have Margaret Maloney and Buddy Shukro.
She looked at me, her eyes a twinkle, her cheeks a lovely rosy hue. Keep your hands off red-haired Mary, her and I are to be wed. We sing the priest this very morning, and to light we lie on the marriage bed. Thank you kindly, sir, she answered. Then she tossed her bright red hair. Seeing as you have got the donkey, I will ride with you to the Dingle Fair. When we reached the town of Dingle, I took her hand to say goodbye, but a tinker, he stepped up behind me, and he hit me right in my left eye.